Welcome to the Peers Perspective podcast, where we dive deep into the world of mental health, well-being, and the incredible power of nature.
So much to do. I often wonder if it's hard to be alone. It's why I'm glad. So glad I got you.
I'm your host, Andy Pearce, and I'm thrilled that you're joining us for episode 3. Today, we've got a fantastic lineup. Dr. Audrey Tang will share her expertise on building resilience in our daily lives and how mindfulness practices can significantly enhance our mental well-being. Then gardening expert Nick Turrell is here to share some of his wisdom. And trust me, it's a game changer for anyone who loves having fresh herbs at their fingertips. Ever find yourself buying those pots of herbs from the supermarkets only to see them wilt away sooner than you'd like? Well, Nick is about to change all of that. Then in today's Positivity Corner, we're going to be spotlighting an incredible green initiative right here in Leicestershire. The Pearce Perspective is proud to announce that we are donating 100 trees to 5 schools across Hinckley and Bosworth. This isn't just about adding beauty to our school grounds. It's a powerful step towards environmental stewardship and sustainability for our younger generation. It is a true testament to the impact we can achieve together for a healthier, greener future. Join us as we dive into this inspiring story celebrating community, nature, and the positive changes we are fostering one tree at a time. Grab your headphones, settle in, let's embark on this journey together. It is going to be a great episode, and I can't wait to share it with you.
The Pearce Perspective Podcast.
Welcome back to the Pearce Perspective Podcast, and this is our Mental Health Matters feature. I'm Andy Pearce, and alongside the brilliant Dr. Audrey Tang, a dedicated psychologist and author who has illuminated the paths of mindfulness and resilience through her acclaimed books, in this episode, Dr. Tang will guide us through the intricate landscapes of relationships and mental health, sharing her profound expertise and compassionate advice. We are going to be talking all about resilience and bouncing back from adversity. Audrey, thank you so much for joining me on the show. As always, to start with, how would you define resilience in the context of mental health and well-being?
Now this is a bone of contention. You've pressed my button here. When I was writing my book, everybody and every lecture I gave, every training session, I would ask, what is resilience? And everyone would say, it's bouncing back. It's not. It's the ability to withstand adversity and spring forward, because actually you need to be able to get through whatever's going on in the first place. And then, do you really want to go back to where you started? Because that may have caused the problem in the first place. So You may want to look to spring forward and move forward into this new opportunity and new landscape that has presented itself to you. But if you want to go to the literature, what research has shown is that resilience is one of 4 ways of coming through adversity. The first is actually succumbing to it, not getting through at all. The second is being able to survive it, but with injury. The third is resilience, which is where you've survived it and you have bounced back to where you started. But the fourth is linked to resilience, which is thriving. And that's being able to use the conditions that you had to change during that adversity in order to breed the ability to thrive. And that same research also says, if you have faced adversity, it is more likely to create those conditions in you to thrive and to flourish, which actually not facing adversity wouldn't have given you the opportunity to forge at all.
So it puts you in a stronger standpoint, building those foundations. I love that. So I'm going to talk about one of your books, Audrey. I hope you don't mind, because you've got a few of them. I want to talk about The Leader's Guide to Resilience. That's part of a fantastic trilogy for business leaders. If you want more information about Audrey's books, by the way, head on to our website, thepearceperspective.com. Click on Audrey. There'll be links to her books. But your book, The Leader's Guide to Resilience, how does it address the concept of resilience?
This breaks it down into 3 areas. You need to survive, you need to rebuild, and then you need to work to thrive. Because if you just get to, survival's the most important, actually. But what we don't realize is getting through is not enough. we then need to come back. Often to survive, we've had to have been knocked back. So we need to come back to at least where we were. But again, that's not enough. We need to move forward. So I break it down into three areas, which is just simply you've got to get through, then you've got to rebuild. And from that new foundation that you've rebuilt, you will hopefully have the capacity and different tools in order to move forward, flourish and thrive. And so in the book, I cover mainly survival and rebuilding together, and then thriving as a separate factor, all of them giving organizations and individuals various tools, practical tools to implement in order to help them do both of those things.
And what are some of those practical strategies and tools for building resilience?
So some of the things that we can do, first of all, is to recognize what makes us strong, what makes us resilient, what we care about. And if you think about this as the pillars holding up the one of those Roman houses, you've got those columns and then you've got the house on top. Think of that as you. So what are the pillars that hold you up? Is it family? Is it career? Is it relationships? Is it exercise? Is it spirituality? Whatever it is for you, that's really important. And then when you start to recognize that maybe that roof of your house is a little bit leaning to one side or a little bit lower than it needs to be, have a look at those pillars and ask yourself, which ones am I not replenishing at the moment? And if you can do that, you've begun to recognize where you can direct your energy. So if, for example, your whole household is balancing on career only, then maybe you've been neglecting family and you've been neglecting exercise and you've been neglecting spirituality. No wonder you're feeling a bit off. But that way you can actually recognize what's going on. So it starts with self-awareness of what's important to you and your overall well-being. And the second part is doing something about it, but doing so in a targeted manner. And the only way we can do that is by making what we keep in our head visual. And that's why I like the idea of the pillars and this household that's sort of slightly off kilter or off balance.
I love the imagery, the brain pictures that we like, because you can always understand something a bit better when you can see it, can't you?
Well, you have to actually, because we're really good at kidding ourselves. We're really good, especially if you're a fast thinker. Daniel Kahneman talks about fast thinking and slow thinking. I'm a bit of a fast thinker. And this is a little quiz, if you indulge me. It's when you read a story, can you tell me intricately the plot and this happened and then this villain comes along? Or is it a bit like, well, Fleur did a bit of fighting and then came along and did something. I don't even know the names of half the characters.
Yeah, it's definitely the second one.
Yeah. And that's when you're thinking very, very quickly. And fast thinkers are worst for kidding ourselves. Oh, yeah, I've got it. I understand it. I know what I'm doing. Oh, I know why I'm not feeling well. If you get it out of your head and actually look at it, and I do this exercise myself, I look at the things that are important to me. And every time I'm feeling slightly off kilter, I ask myself, well, which one of those things is not being met at the moment? And I'm able to then direct my energy wisely. And with that, if you're a fast thinker, you want to direct your energy in the most efficient way possible. So it's another benefit.
Now, that term, direct your energy, to me, that's being mindful, isn't it? That's placing your focus exactly where you want it to be. It leads me quite nicely onto talking about your book, The Leader's Guide to Mindfulness, if I'm honest with you. So how does that contribute to resilience?
It allows you to recognize what your intention was. And this is a funny thing, because if we think about, say, those posts on social media where someone's done that whole, oh, I'm just feeling down, dot, 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 and then they're in some ways perhaps fishing for people to comment on it. They don't always get what they're looking for. And that's sometimes because they don't understand what their intention was when they were putting that out there in the first place. And so if we actually understand what we are intending to do, when we come to reflect on it and look at how successful it was, we can actually say, oh, right, that worked because, or that didn't work because. But our intention needs to be clear. Otherwise, we never get any useful data from the outcome. So mindfulness teaches us to be more intentional. But what mindfulness also does is it teaches us how to make some of these more floaty concepts a bit more tangible. So in the same way, as I said, we'll think about it as pillars and visualize the house being off balance or not. What mindfulness allows us to do is to think about some of these concepts, but actually say, well, what does that look like in practice? So it's all very well saying, oh, focus on your values. But mindfulness will say, well, okay, what does that look like in practice? go through your day, visualize your day, and see yourself engaging in those behaviors as you go day to day. Because it's all very nice saying, oh, well, one of my values is kindness. But then you might come to the end of your day and think, oh, well, no one was kind to me. Well, what did you mean by kindness? Because kindness can mean giving to other people, mm-hmm. but it could also mean not saying something when you know you're right. Or it might mean helping somebody out, but not telling them. When you understand what you mean and what your intention is, that can really help you take effective action. So mindfulness is about clearing that headspace, getting more self-awareness, understanding ourselves a little bit better. And then resilience is the bit that says, okay, you've got that. Now what are you going to do about it?
I like it. Now we want to talk as well about adversity. We've got a couple of minutes left. Can you just describe to us what it means to bounce back from adversity or setbacks?
Yeah, usually it means we're able to deal with failure and learn from it. That's the general way of approaching it. And I think that's quite a healthy way of approaching it. Because when we get knocked back, it's very easy to feel very emotional about it. Mm-hmm. And when we're emotional, that can cloud our judgment. And dialectic behavior therapy talks about the logical mind and the emotional mind. Now, the logical mind is the one that goes straight into, okay, well, what can we learn from it? And let's analyze this. And emotionally, you're not ready to do that yet. So what DBT, dialectic behavior therapy, also suggests we do is we actually use it as a Venn diagram. You've got the logical and you've got the emotional, and that little bit of overlap is the wise mind. And the wise mind is that little bit which comes in after we've allowed ourselves to cry and be upset or be angry, and it's allowed our emotions to express themselves, and it's ignored the side which is going, no, we must learn from it right now, we must do it right now. And the wise mind says, okay, now we're ready, let's get a little bit curious and think about what happened. And that's almost treating ourselves with a bit more compassion. That's allowing us space to learn and reflect and think about it, but not in a critical kind of, we must take something from this right now way. So when we have experienced setbacks and failure, what I would tend to say to people is allow yourself 24 hours of wallowing, allow yourself 24 hours to grieve.
You've got to grieve, yeah.
Yeah, feel what you feel. And do that without the white noise of other people, because it might be the white noise of blame. I had to write a piece when it was Gareth Southgate's England team. It was a match which everyone really wanted to win, but they didn't. And it was how to bounce back. Well, just switch off social media.
Yeah.
Switch off from other people telling you should have done this, and because no one can be any more critical than you've already been in your own head. So allow yourself the space to do that. So the best time to be able to get that emotion out is somewhere where you feel safe, and go to that safe space and do it. The reason I say then limit it to 24 hours, 48 if you need to, is if you don't, it's quite easy to then get into this self-fulfilling prophecy of, oh, wallow, I'm going to stay in here. And then you don't actually take any action. We do need to grow. It's about climbing back out of that hole we've fallen into. But it's okay. We just need time and space to do it. But we do need to do it.
As always, any of the information that you've heard today from Dr. Audrey here on Mental Health Matters will be featured on our website. It's thepeersperspective.com. Get yourself on there. You can find out all the information, links to Dr. Audrey's website and other resources that are there. Audrey, can I have your final thoughts, please? What final bit of advice would you give to our listeners about resilience and coping skills in their personal and their professional lives?
I'm going to ask you to think about the Japanese word kintsugi, and this is where breakages are rebuilt with gold. And I think it's a beautiful concept, because one of the things that we tend to do when it comes to failures, we feel very shameful. We don't want to talk about them. We want to push them into our past. But actually, all of the adversity that we've been through is part of forming who we are. So if we remember kintsugi, if we remember that all of those breakages are formed and bound together again with gold, it's brilliant, it's shiny, it's stronger than it was before. And we have had to go through that. So don't deny your past. Just learn to work with it and see it as part of who you are today, because you wouldn't necessarily be as strong and as wonderful as you are now if you hadn't been through all of the other stuff earlier.
Audrey, thank you so much as always. I can't wait for the next episode. Look after yourself and I will see you soon. Thank you, Audrey.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
The Pierce Perspective Podcast.
Here we are, the Pierce Perspective podcast, and this is our gardening feature, The Green Room, where tranquility takes root and well-being blossoms. I'm Andy Pierce, and alongside garden guru Nick Turrell, we will guide you through the therapeutic world of gardening. Together, we'll uncover the secret harmony between nature and mental health. Get your green thumbs ready as we dig into life's most fertile moments. Nick, what are we chatting about this week?
Well, I want to talk about supermarket herbs. You know, we've all tried them. You know the ones that I mean, in the little pots with plastic sleeve. That's the ones. Yeah. So supermarket herbs are a really good way of introducing, if you like, houseplants.
Okay.
You know, because some people think, oh, houseplants, I always kill houseplants, I'm never any good at them. And to be honest, I'm not a massive fan of houseplants, because these are houseplants belong in jungles or, you know, in deserts and not in our houses, because it's a tricky environment for them to grow. Mm. However, these supermarket herbs can grow and will do it if you follow the little trick. So whenever you buy one of these things, you see the little pot. And one of the things you notice is that it's got like a use-by date. Hang on a minute, what's that about? A use-by date? Do the supermarkets know when this plant is going to die? How does that work?
That is random.
Yeah, you know, and the reason is because actually what they do is it isn't. So, for example, a pot of basil. Yeah, we've all done the basil thing. Mm-hmm. When you buy that basil, you aren't buying one plant. It looks like one lovely big bushy basil plant. But in fact, what you're buying is probably 10s, 20, 30-odd basil plants all crammed into one little pot. They put loads of seeds.
As in the tiny little pot that you get.
Tiny pot. They put loads of seeds. They all germinate. They're all tiny little plants. But when they grow together, they form what looks like one great big basil bushy plant. And that's why they put the use-by date, because actually all these plants are elbowing each other in the ribs. And eventually they'll just keel over because they won't grow in those conditions.
Like they'll like strangle each other.
Exactly.
Sort of thing.
That's it. Yeah, they'll run out of air, they'll run out of nutrients, all sorts of stuff. So the trick, get it home, take the plastic sleeve off, take the pot off, and then literally with your fingers and thumbs, split that root ball into about 5 or 6 separate little plants.
So, right, so what, you push your thumbs in and you're pulling it apart.
Pull it apart. It feels brutal.
It'll break.
Yep, you're splitting, you're pulling those roots apart. Yep. Don't worry, it'll feel a bit weird, but don't worry, because those roots will still be attached to the plant. So then you pop them up into individual plants.
So that one tiny little
will produce
square.
6 or 7 easily.
Really?
Easily, loads more basil plants or herb plants. And then, of course, they will grow on a sunny windowsill and produce a much bigger plant because they've got more space to actually do it. And this is one of the things, is that herbs are great and easy to grow. You use them in the kitchen. But also I've done this thing where you get these dried herbs. You know, you get a little packet. Sometimes I was looking for some oreganos a few weeks ago, looking for some oregano for a dish that I was making. They didn't have the live stuff. I hadn't gotten in my garden at the time. So I thought, let's just, you know, bite the bullet. Buy the dried stuff in the little packet, you know.
So you're talking about the one that's in the plastic,
not in the pot. Soil, no compost whatsoever. It was dried. It looked completely dead.
Just like the sprigs, twigs.
The little twigs. And it was right on the edge of its sell-by date. Not because it was cheap, it just happened to be right on the edge of it. And I took it home and I thought, dried. I thought, I wonder what would happen if you put these dried twigs in a little glass of water.
No way.
Sure enough, they came back, produced new leaves, fresh. It just literally came back to life. So from dried to green, plump, proper little, tiny little plants.
Let's just imagine it.
Yeah.
Then. So like the length of your finger?
Yeah, about the length of your finger.
And you just stood it in water?
In a little tiny glass of water. That's all I did. And it just absorbed that water and came back to life. And so now I've got live, fresh oregano rather than the dried stuff, which from a flavour point of view is much better.
Yeah, definitely.
And you've got a little tiny plant, a little tiny bit of greenery, you know, inside your house that you've recovered. And that's the thing.
Amazed by that.
Correct.
That
so was I.
Some, like, it was dead. It was in a packet.
Anyone else would have just thought, it's dead, I'll throw it away. And they'd have been throwing away something like it goes to the landfill or whatever it is and the plastic. Whereas, in fact, I've recovered it and all of a sudden it's growing and it's still growing. You know, that'll grow now for weeks and weeks and weeks. Just keep changing the water.
Honestly,
amazing,
that boggled my mind.
It's cool, isn't it?
That really, really has. Yeah. And would you say to trial that with, I mean, are we really going to sort of point people towards get the pot and split the pot for 6? Or are we going to push people towards
Do both. If it's desperate and you need the and you can't get the live one, go with the dried one. try it in some water. You never know.
Right. If it works for you, like it has done our garden guru, send your pictures. As always, send them in to us here at the Green Room on the Pierce Perspective podcast. All you need to do, go to our Facebook page, which is the Pierce Perspective, or you can email us, which is thepierceperspective@outlook.com. We love seeing your pictures. We love talking about what you're doing. And, you know, you sending us your pictures, it'll sort of give us the little pat on the back to know that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. One thing I wanted to ask, you mentioned about growing them from the sprigs.
Yeah.
Can you do that with any other things? Like, I want to grow a Leylandi tree.
Right.
Can I just take off a bit of a Leylandi tree and plant it?
You can take cuttings from Leylandii. Normally, the books all tell you, you know, you just take off the lower leaves, put some rooting hormone powder in, put it in some compost, and, you know, it'll produce some roots or whatever, you know, if you've got a bit of heat or whatever. If you're not sure, try it. What's the worst that can happen? It doesn't work. So,
and would you say a branch closer down or higher up? Or was it just
the fresh new stuff? Think about life. You know, kids have got more resilience and juvenility than older people, us lot. You know, you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? They've got, and it's the same with plants. So get the new fresh stuff, and it wants to survive. It wants to grow. There's that will. You know, so give it a go.
Thank you very much. Nick, as always, thank you so much for coming on The Green Room. We love having you on. I cannot wait to speak to you again next episode.
Love it, man.
You're listening to the Pierce Perspective Podcast.
Positivity Corner.
This is Positivity Corner. Today, we're diving into something truly close to our heart, the mission to green up Leicestershire. Did you know Leicestershire's woodland cover is only about 6%, which is way below the national average? Here at the Pierce Perspective, we are on a mission to change that. The goal is to plant 700,000 trees across the county, one for every resident, making it greener, enhancing biodiversity, and moving towards being a net zero county by 2045. Thanks to the Hinckley and Rugby Building Society and to the National Forest Company for providing this initiative. It is phenomenal. The initiative is already bearing fruit, pun intended. Inspired by the National Forest success, and now we are bringing this green wave to schools like Burbage Infant School, Burbage Junior School. What's more, there are 3 spots open for other schools to join this vital mission, integrating environmental stewardship with conversations around mental health. This isn't just about planting trees. It's about purifying our air, supporting wildlife, combating climate change, and teaching the younger generation the importance of looking after our planet. Every tree planted is a step towards a greener, more sustainable future for us all. A massive shout out to everyone getting their hands dirty and hearts involved in making Leicestershire a greener place to live. Your efforts are shaping a better tomorrow. Let's keep this green momentum going for our environment, our communities, and future generations. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, every little bit helps in our journey towards a lush, vibrant planet.
So much to do, I often wonder if it's hard to be alone. It's why I'm glad, so glad I got you.
And just like that, we've wrapped up another episode of the Pierce Perspective podcast. A heartfelt thank you for tuning in and exploring the importance of resilience and mindfulness. Thanks to Nick for giving us that cheeky little trick with the herbs and for our collective mission to bring more green into Leicestershire. Every conversation we share, every moment of mindfulness we practice, every seed we plant brings us closer to a future brimming with well-being and understanding. It's the small steps that lead to big changes, and your involvement is key to that transformation. A massive shout out to our incredible guests for their wisdom and insights, and to you, our dedicated listeners, for your continuous support. Remember, the journey towards better mental health and a greener world is one that we are on together. Every little action makes a difference. Now, before we part ways, why not head over to our website, thepierceperspective.com, and subscribe. Not only will you stay up to date with the latest episodes, but you'll also find a trove of resources to help you on your journey towards wellness and environmental stewardship. So, keep the conversations going, spread the word, and let's support each other in making every day a bit brighter. I'm Andy Pierce with producer Dale Neal, reminding you to take care of your mental health. Embrace the community spirit, and remember, together we're making a difference. Until next time, stay positive and thanks for listening to the Pierce Perspective Podcast.
The Pierce Perspective Podcast.